Hello, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyondananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Upwising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Hi, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed light on the darkened corridors of power, and we shine a light on the path ahead of us to where evolution is leading. The purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right, front and center, to face the music and dance together, to address problems rather than defend positions. Today we're going to talk about moving pictures, or what we've come to call movie. Imagine you're in a huge theater with a big screen and we're totally absorbed in an alternative reality, another world. We lose ourselves at the movie, and sometimes we find ourselves. And that happens when we are moved by the movies. Our guest today, Tarek Munib, has created a remarkably moving movie that just might move the dial to help us rehumanize the other, that is, people not like us, that ignorance, fear, and misunderstanding have caused us to dehumanize. Tarek was a Canadian-Egyptian entrepreneur living in Switzerland who found himself troubled by a polarized and divided world. After watching rising levels of anger and hatred toward the other, in this case, Muslims, he came up with a wonderfully playful and intriguing idea. He traveled across the U.S. to find people who felt threatened by Islam and offered them a free trip to Egypt. The result is a mind-changing, heart-changing, and maybe even world-changing documentary by the same name, where a diverse group of skeptical Americans go on a life-changing trip where they immerse themselves in Egyptian culture, stay with Egyptian families, share food and conversation, and, it turns out, deep and lasting spiritual and emotional connection. The movie, like life, is filled with surprises, and I guarantee you will be moved by this movie. I can say a lot more, but I'd rather have Tarek say it. Tarek, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Very good. Well, let's start at the beginning. What inspired you to do this movie, and did you know it was going to be a movie right from the beginning?
Yeah, what inspired me was actually fear. I found myself becoming really afraid of what was happening in the world and developing a fear of Americans and what was happening in America. And I realized I don't want to live like that. So I was just pondering, okay, what could I do differently? And then the inspiration actually came to travel to America and face the people that I believed feared me and offer them something kind. And then that's when the idea, I would just go around and offer people a free trip to Egypt. And I did come with the idea of to document the whole thing as I was going through this adventure of discovery.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell us something about your own background. How did it, you grew up in Canada, right?
Yes.
Tell us more about that. What it was like to be a Muslim in a Western country in the 70s and 80s.
Right. So I was born and raised in Canada. My parents are Egyptian, so we would spend some of the summers in Egypt. And for the last 17 years, I've been living in Switzerland. So I've kind of been immersed in all sorts of different cultures. I think as a child, any type of difference is scary. So that wasn't really something I was proud about. I was a little bit ashamed of being a Muslim back in the 70s and the 80s. It also wasn't the most exotic thing to be. But when I got a little bit older, end of my teens and 20s, I started to develop a pride of it. And I felt even quite religious, and that Islam is the way. And I wanted to, you know, tell everybody about that. And then I crashed in my 20s when I realized that, you know, I don't know anything. And then I slowly built up the way I am today, which is, you know, I have my own faith and beliefs, which I realize are mine, and I'm curious about other people, and I love to exchange and learn from people.
So you went through a period of time where you really embraced Islam, you embraced the rituals and so on, and you felt very much connected with it. And then would you say that you, you know, your vision took you past that in a certain regard?
Yeah, I think what happened is that I think for me personally, I saw and I still see the beauty of Islam, and it really moved my heart and really helped me on my spiritual path. But in my 20s, I felt it was really the only way, and that everyone who was interested in spirituality would have to discover the beauty of what I discovered. So this narrow-mindedness basically caused me then not to believe in anything. And then as I grew older, I rediscovered that, you know, I remembered the beauty, how it touched me, and the spirituality of Islam. And I discovered the beauty and spirituality of other ways and religions. So I guess I went from thinking it's the only way to it's absolutely not the way to thinking now it's one of many ways.
You know, there was the book I read when I was a kid called The Three Christs of Ypsilanti. And at Ypsilanti State Hospital in Michigan, guy doing his psychiatric residency noted that there were three inmates who all thought that they were Jesus Christ. He said, well, what would happen if I put them all together in a therapy group, right? And so what happened was one of them, who was the most alienated from people in general, just cut himself off. The other one was a bit in conflict because I like these other two Jesus Christ, but I'm the Jesus. The third one finally figured it out. He says, you know, maybe we're all Jesus Christ. You know? So I think I could tell that was where you were coming from in the movie. So the movie begins with you wearing a red hat, you and your friend wearing a red hat at Donald Trump rally or rallies in, was it in Louisville or someplace else, Kentucky? And what happened there? How was that for you? How did you feel you were received? Did you make any positive connections? What was that like?
Well, I think this was a big turning point in my kind of personal state, because when we first started the project, there was a lot of hate on social media towards me, towards Muslims, and I was really surprised at that, because I thought, okay, I'm offering a free trip. Why is there so much hate against me because of that? And then coming to America and being at the Trump rally, I managed to speak to people face to face, and just when you're connecting with somebody face to face, you actually feel the humanity. So there was a woman, for example, on the trailer who says things that, you know, I've never talked to those Muslims and all this stuff. But when you're speaking with her, you don't experience her as a bigoted woman. You experience her as a very warm-hearted, kind woman who's just simply concerned about her own safety and the safety of America. So learning that and feeling that most people, surely there are some people, but most people aren't bigoted. They just have these views because this is what they see in the media. They're afraid for their families, etc. So that really renewed my faith in humanity, that most of us are not wanting war and bigotry, etc. And that was a real turning point, that I could actually connect and see the humanity of others. And that really softened me inside.
You know, that's really interesting because, again, there was a study that was done, I think it was at Yale, that talked about how One way you make people more conservative, quote unquote, is you make them more fearful. So the more fearful people are, the more they go into their hindbrain, the more protective they are. And conversation, and as we'll talk more about the movie, in actual engagement over food, over playful rituals, over ceremonies, over being in beautiful places and looking at beauty together, those are the things that put those fearful beliefs in the background and put something else in the foreground. Tell us about the process of selecting people for the trip. I mean, I know you went out there with a sign. Apparently that didn't really work, although you might have found that the one policeman in Kentucky that way. Tell us more about the process of selecting people.
Well, we went through many avenues, as you're alluding to. We went, you know, I don't know, across maybe 15, 20 different states, approaching people randomly. So it just wasn't a Trump rally. We went to, like, left-wing places as well, and we went to all sorts of different neighborhoods, and sometimes we were dressed up in with the Arab garb and the free trip to Egypt sign. Sometimes we weren't. Did a lot of active posting on social media, on radio talk shows, etc. And it was really, it's a bit challenging because by nature, the type of people you're trying to reach out to come on such a trip are the type of people who would never want to go on such a trip. So that was the challenge. But in the end, we managed to find the sweet spot where people were a bit hesitant, had their deep concerns, but yet courageous enough to embark on this adventure. And that's what we were just really amazed by the people who came with us in the end.
It really is an amazing story. You couldn't have put that in a script. You couldn't have done that. I mean, it was only allowing the universe to randomly work out for you anyway. Were there lots of other people who applied that for some reason or another didn't make the cut?
Well, what was interesting is that there were quite a few interesting people. Everyone who wanted to come that was interesting came. But what happened in the end, a handful dropped out. Mainly, there were a couple of safety concerns. People didn't know about Egypt, et cetera, et cetera. And that was maybe the one I was expecting. The one that I wasn't expecting, which was the main reason people hesitated or dropped out, was they were afraid they would look bad on camera.
Yeah, I could understand that one. Sure.
Right. So, yeah, that was a bit of a shame. And I think now it's interesting because we've shown the film. We've done some pre-screenings, and some of the people who were reluctant in the beginning really loved the film and were a bit regretful that they didn't go out on the journey. So it was a bit of a shame, but these things happen.
You know, the people who were there, I mean, again, it really does show, you know, the people in, quote-unquote, naked, in a way, vulnerable, in a different place, always themselves. It's always very interesting how that worked. But there was, it's vulnerable, you know, and how are you going to look? And we're so used to people I totally salute the people who did, though. So there were people who were, there might have been more people on that trip, except that perhaps seeing themselves on film or having everybody else see them on film. That would be a concern, you know? It's understandable.
Yeah, of course. And this is what I appreciate hearing. I heard this from
Hello? Yes.
See themselves.
Well, it's really interesting to see that these people were themselves in such a vulnerable position. Now, something I found fascinating, we may have to talk about this after the break, but we'll start now. And serendipitous was the pairing of the Americans with the Egyptian families and communities. How did you find the families, and how did you decide who went with whom?
So with the process for selecting the Egyptians was completely different than selecting Americans. Americans, I was opening it up to everyone. But the Egyptians, they were acting as hosts, right? So it's a big responsibility. So I made sure I knew people personally, or they were recommended by personal friends or contacts, right? So I didn't go too far out. And at the same time, I wanted to get a reflection of different types of elements of Egyptians, right? So from very secular right down to religious. So we consciously tried to get the diversity that was Egypt.
Yeah, I was really surprised by the Egyptian bikers, the motorcycle team. And that's what made me think, how did you, we're going to be taking a break very shortly, and we'll be back afterward to talk more about free ticket to Egypt with our guest, Tarek Munib. This is Steve Fairman on WikiPolitik.
With the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Are you done with the daily barrage of negativity? Ready for some positivity? Creations Magazine has been inspiring the soul for over 30 years, delivering thought-provoking and solution-driven articles, essays, and poetry that inspire you to enjoy a vibrant life. Holistic health, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, the environment, and so much more. Read us online or order a subscription, creationsmagazine.com.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency? Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Well, hello, this is Steve Behrman. We're back with Tarek Munib. We're talking about pre-trip to Egypt. Fascinating movie and very heartful and moving movie. Let's talk a little bit more about how you actually paired people with families. Who went with whom? And was that random, or how did you come up with all that?
Right. No, it wasn't random. And that was the most fun part of this whole journey, because this is when my childlike joy and curiosity just took the forefront. So I was like thinking. I mean, there was a young Christian missionary who's in his early 30s. Who wanted to go to Egypt to spread the love of Jesus in the Middle East and baptize Muslims. And he came to Egypt with someone from his congregation, former Miss Kentucky, who also was very enthusiastic and wanted to spread Jesus' word. So I thought to myself, well, who would be a beautiful pairing with them. And I actually consciously thought, oh, wouldn't it be amazing to pair them up with an Orthodox Muslim family where, you know, the father has a beard and the mother covered her face. And, you know, what would happen? You know, there's so many similarities and yet so much difference. Would they be able to connect? I was really curious to see what would happen there. And, you know, there was the woman in her late 60s who said she's afraid of Muslim men ever since 9/11 happened. So, you know, we paired her up with a young Egyptian revolutionary saying, wonder how that journey would unfold. Or the man at the Trump rally who was, you know, a big, strong veteran. We paired him up with a beautiful Egyptian dancer. So there were all these interesting storylines, and I was just curious how they would unfold. So that's basically, it was just a process of childlike curiosity of what would happen if.
You know, I just love that. I just, first of all, I mean, it was so obvious. At some point, I'm going, the Christian people are paired with these very, very religious people. And you could see that there was a match of sensibilities. They were, there was something that was alike about them. And it actually, I'm not going to give away the actual scene in the movie, but it actually plays out that their similarities were resonant in a particular way. What was the biggest surprise for you in doing this? And was there something that totally blew you away, surprised?
There were quite a few surprises. The first comes to mind is the degree of transformation, connection that occurred amongst some of them in such a short period of time. You saw the film, you saw what happened towards the end, how it affected some of the participants. And that was based upon 10 days. And to see such a powerful change in 10 days and that would lead to such a powerful event was just mind-blowing. So that was one of the things. The other thing which was very interesting is I think everybody who got along so well, I wasn't expecting to get along. And the conflicts that happened, I wasn't expecting those conflicts. So everybody I thought would get along didn't get along. Everyone did the reverse. So it's quite fascinating.
That's really interesting. What was, 10 days, you obviously had staff working with you. Many of the details were handled, but you're right there in the middle of it. This is your dream, your idea, your manifestation. What was the most difficult thing for you while you were on the trip? What was the biggest personal challenge for you?
I think holding the group together and feeling responsible for everybody's well-being, including the crew. So the very last day we went, I mean, it's a small example, but we went camel riding and horseback riding. And, you know, a couple of people fell off the horses, another one nearly fell off the camel. And so it was quite stressful. And I remember the next day was the very last day where I put the Americans, I took them to the airport, put them on the plane, and they took off back. Just relief that I got was just okay. that was that everyone
nobody
was safe.
Nobody broke any important bones as they fell off.
Yes, exactly, and everyone I think left feeling nurtured and fulfilled. So just feeling the care and responsibility. It was intense.
You know, and of course there is a bit of a follow up afterward. I'm taking it that Trump was already elected president when the movie was filmed, or is it during the campaign?
Correct. Okay, no, he was elected. So that campaign rally, it was a 2020 campaign rally that occurred a few months after he got elected.
And so it was a period of time there. How have, other than what we saw in the movie, and people, I really highly recommend, by the way, that you see this movie, if you can see it tomorrow, Wednesday, with at one of the theaters, so you can see the after event, that would be great. What has been the impact, the lasting impact on the Americans, and if you've kept up with the Egyptians, has there been any continued connection between the groups and the countries and so on?
Absolutely. I know I'm in touch with almost all of the people there. When I went back to Cairo, I visited a lot of the Egyptians. I'm in contact with the Americans, almost regularly. It's really beautiful to see. I mean, it's really fulfilling as well to hear their stories and to hear how they've been changed. And one of them wants to start or has started a random acts of kindness YouTube channel, and he feels grateful to me for inspiring him to do that. So it feels there's been a lot of inspiration, and I visited them as well. They invited me for Thanksgiving, one of the groups, and I spent time with their extended families. So it was nice to see that there's a ripple effect, and what we all learned on the journey we took to our own families and our extended families and our relatives and our communities. And tomorrow is all about taking it across the country. So as we're watching the film together with across the nation in 500 theaters all together, and we're having a panel discussion that's going to be streamed into the theaters in the name of Pledge to Listen, the Day of Unity, that we're actually talking about how we can bring more listening and kindness in the world. And this happens because of this diverse group of people. We felt we all managed to stay together, so why not the rest of the world? And then a lot of people have started joining the Pledge to Listen movement and spreading more listening and kindness, and that's what tomorrow is also all about, is watching the film and discussing how we can come together.
I'm curious, are there any people who have been in the movie who are on the panel? Who's on the panel, and what's the focus of that?
So tomorrow, I'm going to be on the panel, and we have one special surprise movie person who is in the movie. So that person's going to be there as well. And we're also bringing together a diverse group of thought leaders and influencers. So we've got politicians, rabbis, thought leaders, movie directors, and a very diverse group of people who just also share the desire to see more connection and less divisiveness in politics.
You know, when I first saw the idea, before I saw the movie, I went, oh, this is Guess Who's Coming for Dinner for 2019, because in 1967 there was a breakthrough movie, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, with Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn, Katherine Houghton, and Sidney Poitier. And it's about a couple, interracial couple, who decides to get married, and the fallout. You know, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner? He's coming to dinner. He's the black guy. And what that movie did was it brought something into the conversation that had been almost forbidden before the movie. Brought that to awareness. And so it also had to do with sharing food, sharing conversation, rehumanizing people who've been dehumanized. And a friend of mine here, actually in Idaho, of all places, he came up with this idea. He said, wouldn't it be something if when immigrants came to this country or refugees from someplace else, that they were invited, that they had mutual dinners where they cooked their food and shared it with the Americans who were there and vice versa. And I really love that idea, and I got such a feeling of connection through watching people eat food together, watching people enjoy the beauty of museums and treasures and marketplaces and all of that color. And it seems to put the differences in proper perspective. Without giving away too much of the movie, was there anyone who made a particularly profound transformation or epiphany, however you want to call it, first on our side and then perhaps even on the Egyptian side?
Absolutely, including myself, right? So I think we've seen people completely have their lives changed and go from being called xenophobic by their children to really open and life embracing and happy people after the trip. So it's been really interesting, but at the same time it's interesting because I'm not sure, and the film's even been criticized that we didn't ask if people's political or religious beliefs were changed. And that's exactly not the point. The point of the film was to show that we can still connect on a human level independent of our religious and political beliefs. And I think we all learned that, right? And even... I got a call from one of the Christian missionaries a couple of days ago, and he's so excited and thanking me again for the trip and everything. And because just the other day he ran into a Muslim and he was telling me there was just nothing but love and respect. And, we just talked for hours and I just love this guy. And I learned, I can just love Muslims and I don't have to try to convert them. But that's, God will take care of that and show them Jesus, but I can just love them.
God will show them their error of their ways.
Right. Exactly. But so I thought it was a beautiful thing because I didn't convert him to not converting people, but at the same time, I think he learned that he can be as zealous as he wants and still love people and not look down on them and preach to them in a way that's demeaning. So we're not trying to change anybody or make anybody different, but what we are trying to do is create a little bit more harmony between all our different beliefs.
Yeah, that really came through. And again, because, people who are kind of are, looking at this this new paradigm and so on, they want to, you're in a hurry to kind of, let's get past all these differences. And yet, the richness of life has to do with those differences. And rather than pretending that they don't exist, to love and respect one another beyond that. And I totally adored those people, those Christian people. I totally adored them because they were so full of love, and my mind says, well, they're full of something else too, but they were full of love. And that's what came through. And that's what ultimately won the day, that love was in the space and they found that. And that's what they resonated with, no matter what label you put on it. So
exactly. And that was my self-discovery, because in the very beginning, I was locked in for 3 days trying to say, aren't there other ways? Don't you see other ways? And it took me days to realize that I was just as much preaching to him as he was to me. And until I kind of said, you know what? He's not harmful. Why am I trying so hard to make him more tolerant in my eyes, right? So as soon as I let go of my own zeal, then I discovered in him such a wonderful, kind person who's so courageous and so full of heart. And then we became friends after that. So that was my I had to face my own prejudices and my own intolerances.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Yes, well, you know, I think that there's that tendency to want to, even if we're not converting people, we want to convert them to not be, to not converting.
exactly.
So I appreciate it. I really appreciated that interaction. I appreciated the scene where you're trying to be reasonable about this. Well, don't you think that since it's all love, and, you know, part of this is not being reasonable. There's a lot of not reasonable about it. And I think that the relief that people end up feeling, the relief that people end up feeling is that I'm okay and they're okay. And if we don't agree, it's okay because we actually agree in the heart. And that's really the most important thing. I want to talk more when we get back from our break. I want to talk a little bit more about the special event tomorrow and then what's on for the future. Now, you said that you're living in Switzerland, but you're currently in Washington, D.C. Are you going to spend some time in the States, or are you going to go right back home?
Yeah, one or two more days, and then I'm actually flying back.
Wow, what a trip. Okay, well, we'll be back in just a few minutes with Tariq Muniz, Wiki Politics.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
The Shift Network. Presenting transformative programs and events to help you awaken to your full potential so that together we can build the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. Our classes support you in finding and cultivating your gifts and in bringing those gifts to the world to create tangible change and connect us as global citizens. Go to theshiftnetwork.com or follow the link on the Wiki Politiki sponsors page.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Well, we're back. Wiki Politiki, Steve Behrman here. We're talking with Tariq Muniz, who has created an amazing movie documentary called Free Trip to Egypt. Let's talk a little bit about tomorrow. Of course, people will be listening to this perhaps in the archives afterwards, so they may have to go back and find out what happened yesterday. Tomorrow might be yesterday for them. Tell us more about this big rollout, and then what's on the docket for the next period of time to make sure that more and more and more people see this movie.
Sure. So tomorrow, June 12th, is what we're calling the Pledge to Listen Day of Unity. And that's when the film is going to be shown just one day only across the country in 500 theaters. And then after the film, there's going to be a panel discussion streamed into the theaters from Washington, D.C. So people can get tickets on freetriptoegypt.com, freetriptoegypt.com. They can find the nearest theater and the tickets. So what we noticed when we showed the film in various theaters is that after the film, it creates a real desire to have conversation and to connect. So what we hoped, what we're hoping to do tomorrow is have the same, instill the same desire that people can open up and connect and start to speak. So we're going to watch the film, then we're going to have the panel discussion. And the panel discussion is going to be made up of really diverse people. We've got some very strong Democrats and Republicans. We've got President Trump's former wife, Marla Maples, is coming. Rabbi Rami Shapiro. Peter Farrelly is going to be Skyped in, the director. So we've got a very diverse crowd that's going to be talking about that. And at the same time, we've partnered with over 30 national organizations that want to see more listening and kindness in the world. So from the Charter of Compassion to the Listening Project, to Listen First, to the Unity Church, to many other organizations and partners, because these are organizations that do what we're doing, what we want to do on a daily level. So what we want to do is the conversation starts with the film, but then our partner organizations will tell people what are the types of activities they can get involved in after June 12th. So that's the desire, that we trigger the conversation tomorrow, and then these partner organizations will offer people different possibilities of what they can do to get involved in bringing more kindness and listening to the world. So that's tomorrow. And then after tomorrow, we're finalizing plans on how we can bring the film through community screenings and maybe theatrical release afterwards. But nothing is clear yet on how we're going to do that. We're really focused on June 12th, so this might be the only opportunity that you could see it on a big screen in a theater. It's very hard for an independent film to come this far and to be on 500 screens at the same time. So it's a really one-of-a-kind event that we hope people will participate in. And then people can just tune in to freetriptoegypt.com after that, and we'll keep them updated if there are other opportunities afterwards.
You know, this seems to be a really unique way of promoting a film. I mean, it's not just about promoting the film, of course, because there's so much underneath it and so much behind it. Was there another model that you used, or did you pretty much invent this one?
Yeah, no, this is just something that kind of unfolded. First, the idea of the film, and then the idea of, you know, I remember being in Egypt thinking, you know, there were times where we thought this whole group would fall apart. There were times where we thought, you know, people would no longer stay with their hosts, right? We didn't know how this was going to end, right? And the people we're bringing together, we're talking about really radically different views. And these types of views, when put together, we've seen wars start because of these views. So it was quite tense sometimes. And yet, while I was in Egypt and I saw all these people staying together and still managing to keep this container, I thought to myself, why not the rest of the world if we can do it, right? And then that's when we realized, well, one of the keys that allowed us to maintain this human connection was listening with respect. And so then organically came the Pledge to Listen movement. And then this is just uniting people who want to see more listening and kindness in the world. So then that took form. And then, you know, thousands of people joined and signed the Pledge to Listen, which is also on freetriptoegypt.com. And then came the idea, well, let's have a Pledge to Listen Day of Unity, going beyond that which divides us. And so then that took form. And then we said, well, we don't want it just to be a one-day thing that just fizzles afterwards. So then we started reaching out to partners, and the resonance was amazing. I mean, people were so excited, all the partners, and we've gotten so many national and local partners working with us. So it just kind of snowballed and took form, and that's why we're super excited about tomorrow. And we even have advanced sales. Some of the theaters were even sold out, so we're really excited about that. And tomorrow is just the beginning of this conversation.
Well, I really like the idea. I think it's very important to have follow through, because what happens is, you know, you get a great idea. A celebrity comes through town. There's a movie. There's something that inspires people. And what you have given the network of these organizations that actually bring people together on a day-to-day basis to, if not do the exact thing that you did in the movie, to certainly do things that are similar and resonant with that. And here people can go, wow, I want to do more of that. Like my friend in Idaho, who never quite got this idea off the ground of having immigrants and local people share food together, but maybe now that this movie has taken place, it can re-inspire him to do that where he is, and other people to do similar things. So that's the potential for this.
Absolutely. And this is also the point, is that when I started showing the film to these local communities and doing the test screenings, so many people would come to me and say, oh, this is so amazing, etc. But then they would say, did you hear about this or that? So I've been bombarded with so many people telling me about so many amazing projects across the country that are bringing people together. And that's inspirational, and that motivates me. And I think that's part of what the Pledge to Listen movement was about, was joining all these people to see we're not alone in wanting to see more listening and kindness in the world. And this then, you know, you feel supported and motivated. And it's so...
part of...
Come on, come join us, right?
I think that that's really exciting, that there are all these things going on, and because of how the media, primarily until now, has really focused so much on the polarities and on the, let's say, stereotypes, and, you know, that's the kind of stuff that sells. There's a movement that wants to break through the soundless barrier that brings all of these together. And I think that because of what you're doing with this film as a central focal point, you have the potential to become kind of a hub. Not that you're reinventing what these other organizations are doing, but rather you're highlighting those and giving people an opportunity to find things closer to where they live, where they can sustain this and keep it going. So I don't know to what extent you thought that when you started, but I think that you've started something. On a personal level, you don't seem like the kind of person that's easily a public person. I can tell that you're a bit introverted. How has this impacted your own personality and sense of mission?
Well, it's interesting because when I had the inspiration for the project, I didn't expect that I would be on camera. So I had reached out to different people, and even the YouTube celebrity, Adam, who's in the film, I thought he would be more the focus. So it was a really interesting change because as soon as we started engaging with people, Adam's great in the lighthearted, disarming people, making them, you know, feel relaxed. But then as soon as it got into a conversation, he would look at me and say, help Tariq, right? So we were kind of good as a team, worked really well together. So it's been a bit of a shift, and the director really, you know, pushed me and said, you know, no, you can do this, et cetera. There's been a more of a shift in me. When I saw the audience reactions, it actually then really set me on fire, saying, this is really important. I really want to spread this. So this kind of shyness of staying in the background has been something that I just had to just get over because of my passion of what I've seen, what this film can do. It's been quite the transformation.
Well, you can see the entire arc of your life and mission is changing. I mean, again, this is something that is going to have you. Oh, okay, good. Was I lost? I was asking, are you finding that this is changing your perspective about traveling to the USA? Is it changing your life in Switzerland? Is that where your life is no matter what?
No. Well, it's changed my life in the sense that I feel much better about humanity. That's what I was saying. So I feel like a renewed faith in you know, the new hope in what we can do together and where the world is heading. Personally, it's interesting because my son is just about to go into university. The time I'm spending with him is going to become less and less. And he's actually, I've been in the United States for the New York opening and the LA opening and in DC now for tomorrow. So he's actually come with me. So this is also interesting in terms of timing because we can spend a lot of time together and then he's going to be going to university and I'll have more time to dedicate to this because this is quite consuming on a lot of levels. And you got it right. Most people ask me, what are you doing next? And then I have to explain to them, this isn't going to end anytime soon. So it's very insightful of you to see that the passion for the project is not just film.
Well, they say if you're going to write a book, you should be planning on doing that for at least the next 5 years. So, the arc of this began, with some little brainstorm that flew into your head. And like so many things in life, when a funny thing happens, this time it actually was funny and ended up as a positive thing. If you were to go back 20 years, you probably couldn't imagine your life taking this arc. So, it'll come through in the movie. I so hope that everybody, if they can go tomorrow to see the movie and then tell everybody else about it for when they can access it. On my website, on the Home Times website, and then on the Wiki Politiki page that'll be up later today or tomorrow, there's links to the movie, there's links to the trailer, there's links to the discussion guide and all of the amazing materials and organizations that have clustered around this one kernel of a very positive idea. So we've got another couple of minutes left, Tariq. Anything else that you want to say that share that didn't get shared or something you want to leave the audience with?
I think we shared everything. I just want to, again, ask people to come out tomorrow, June 12th, freetriptoegypt.com. I'm super excited about this, and I think it's really for anybody who wants to renew their hope in humanity. Please come, and I'm really curious about people's feedback, so let me know what you think.
That's great. That's great. Now, is there a place on the movie site where people can correspond and offer feedback? Is there any kind of a chat or anything like that?
There's a contact form. So people who have been giving us feedback have been just using the contact form. So that gets to us and gets to me. So, yes.
That's a great place to start. And certainly tomorrow, Wednesday, June 12th, a perfect time to go see the movie. Now the event that you're doing, since the movie is in different time zones, obviously that is a recorded event then?
No, well, it's live for the Eastern time zone and CST,
yeah.
And then it's going to be time delayed for Mountain and Pacific.
Got it. Okay, that makes total sense. So that would be, so I'm seeing my local theater here. Jan and San Rafael is showing it at 7 p.m. our time, so that we'll watch it. The movie is 98 minutes, and it went very, very quickly. I didn't want it to end. I didn't want that film to end. And I think that it'll stay with people. It was a conversation point this morning with my wife and I, and we both were tremendously moved by everything that happened, the happy things and even the sad things. So I highly recommend Free Trip to Egypt. Our guest today has been Tariq Munib. He is the creator of this. This is Steve Behrman on Wiki Politiki. We'll be back with you again next week.